Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise, and today we're going to talk business formation for high-ticket dropshipping. Go get my free niches list for high-ticket dropshipping at ecommerceparadise.com/niches. It's a niches list that includes high-ticket products and profitable categories that we'll be able to use to build your business. All right, so let's get into it. First of all, when you go to form a business, you have to choose between the different business structures. So there's like a sole proprietorship, partnership, or LLC usually are the three main choices. If you're going with more than just one person, if it's you and another person, or you and two other people or whatever, it's going to have to be a partnership of some sort, whether it be a limited liability partnership or a just a regular partnership. You're going to have to file different documents with your state, with the government, and with the IRS, right? So sole proprietor is if it's just you, and sole proprietorship is the easiest to form, usually. You can just become a sole proprietor without having to file much paperwork at all, actually. And the only thing that you need to do is really file paperwork with the state that you're in the U.S., and that depends on what the name of your business is. Usually every state has a different rule. They're called DBAs, which stands for doing business as. For instance, the state of California has a law where you have to file a DBA if your sole proprietorship is for any business name other than your personal name. So like for me, if it was like Trevor Fenner Consulting, I wouldn't have to file a DBA because it's my own name. But if it was like TF Consulting or anything else other than my actual name, then I would have to file a DBA. So that's how sole proprietorships work. It's different for every state. To start a sole proprietor, the main thing you need to have is a employer identification number from the IRS. And usually if you want to start a business, I'd recommend going with an LLC though. So the reason why is because LLCs are limited liability companies. So if you get sued and you lose, the only liability you're going to have is what money is actually in your business. So if you keep everything separate with your finances and you own like a house or other assets, the only money at stake for an LLC would be the money and the assets of the actual business, not your personal assets. So that's why I recommend forming an LLC, especially if you have assets to protect. It's a little bit more expensive depending on the state that you live in, of course. Usually LLC formation can cost between like a couple hundred dollars to, you know, almost $1,000. Really just depends on the state. So you file the LLC documents with the state, and then you get the EIN from the IRS, which is the federal government. So you'll need both of those, and you'll also need the documentation that gets provided for you by the company you go to file the LLC with. I would recommend using a company called Inkfile. I use them and recommend them, and I like them. Inkfile does a really good job, and they make things easy, and they're pretty affordable. I also recommend forming your business in a state that doesn't have any income tax, because that will make it easier for you. If you happen to be physically located in a state that does have income tax, or like does have like a franchise tax and things like that, it can get expensive, and you're going to probably still have to file as an out-of-state LLC in your state. But if you form your LLC in Wyoming or, you know, what's another good one, Texas or Nevada, those states don't have income taxes. And some of them don't have franchise taxes either. Wyoming is my favorite, and that's what I use. Pretty simple. And the other good thing about that is that the requirements for charging your customers income tax will be based on the state that you're forming in. And since Wyoming doesn't have much population, there's probably not going to be as many customers from Wyoming for your business, so you won't have to charge sales tax for that many people. The seller's permit, getting the seller's permit, the process is pretty easy. And that's another thing I'll go over soon. But yeah, so that's kind of like the main idea there. Now, kind of a side note, if you want to become a digital nomad and you want to just start traveling around the world, or even just a nomad and traveling around the US, you don't have to live in any particular state anymore. I would recommend moving your physical residence to a income tax-free state. There's a bunch of those, and one of them is Washington. Another one is South Dakota. And Texas, but South Dakota is one I recommend because it's so easy to move there. They only require you to stay at a hotel or even a campsite for just one night, and then bring the paperwork for your stay as well as your traveling mailbox, or sorry, America's mailbox account to them. It's a company in South Dakota that offers a virtual mailbox service. It's called America's Mailbox, I believe. And so Yeah, America's Mailbox. And so what that does for you is that gives you South Dakota residency, and South Dakota doesn't have an income tax or any franchise tax. And yeah, so then you can become a nomad. It's kind of an old RVer's trick. You know, if you retire and you have an RV and you want to drive around the country and just not have to pay taxes anymore on your income, you can do that. So your business can be located Wyoming, physically in South Dakota, and you could live wherever you want to in the world. You just have to deal with the localities. If you're outside the country, of course, other countries are going to have visa things you're going to have to pay for. But like, for instance, for me, it's Indonesia. I happen to be in Bali, so I have to deal with Indonesian visa costs and you know, local sales tax and all that stuff. But I don't pay any income tax in Indonesia because I don't make any income in Indonesia. All my income is derived from the U.S. So I do, you know, pay income tax to the IRS, but I don't pay any state income tax, just federal income tax. And when you're set up like that, all you have to pay is what's called self-employment tax, which is Social Security and Medicare, and adds up to 15%. And once you start making more money, of course, you will have to pay more. If you're out of the country for 11 out of the 12 months of the year, so you're only in the U.S. for 30 days at a time max every year, you can qualify for the federal earned income exclusion. And there's a couple different ways to qualify for that. But, you know, so talk to an accountant about that. But the cool thing about that is that you don't have to pay any federal income tax up to $100,000 or so. So that's kind of cool. And yeah, what that basically means is if you are within that $100,000 of income per year range, you don't have to pay any income tax beyond Social Security and Medicare. You will still have to pay Social Security and Medicare. If it is like your first year of your business or whatever, and you actually make a loss and you can claim a loss in your taxes, that's great. You won't have to pay any income, any like taxes, because you know, claim the loss. If you, well, anyway, so I would recommend talking to an accountant about that and get that going. But the next thing that you'll have to figure out after you get your LLC and your EIN is business checking accounts and business credit cards. So, and then I'll get to the seller's permit after that. So business checking accounts are pretty important, and it's good to go with a bank that actually provides really good service and doesn't charge a bunch of fees. You can see like what the biggest banks are in the U.S., the ones you can trust the most, ones that like won't go out of business during a downturn in the economy. And the biggest bank in the U.S. right now is Chase, and so I would just recommend going with Chase. Before, like years ago, they didn't have any branches in Wyoming, so that wasn't an option for Wyoming businesses, but now they do, so you can go with Chase now. Before, it was only Wells Fargo and Bank of America, and so I went with Wells Fargo, but I'll be switching to Chase come this fall when I go back to the U.S. But yeah, Chase is, I think, the best. Wells Fargo is fine too. Their customer service is a little bit old school. Chase does have better, like a better app and better customer service, I think, and more opportunities and options for credit cards and things like that. So I like Chase a lot. As far as credit cards go, it's good to have some business credit cards specifically for your business, and there's going to be different types of spend for your business. The main type of spend will be your cost of goods sold, the card that your suppliers charge. And for that, I would just recommend like a broad, like 1.5 or 2x points or percent cashback rewards card on everything. And, you know, one of those is like the Chase Income Limited. And if you want to get the best value out of that, you would have to pair it with the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And when you do that, you can move your points over to this that you earn with the Unlimited to the Chase Sapphire Reserve, and then you can spend them on travel at a 50% bonus. So you would effectively be making 2.25% cash back if you spend it towards travel, all those rewards. Some other good options are the Capital One Spark Cash and Miles cards, 2x and, you know, 2% respectively, and those are really good. You know, they have a good travel portal as well. I bank with Chase, I bank with Capital One, I also bank with Amex. Amex doesn't really have like a good overall cost of goods sold card. Their Blue Business Plus is a 2x miles or points card, but it caps out at 50,000 per year, and with high ticket dropshipping, it's pretty easy to hit that even in just 1 month. So, you know, I don't really use Amex for cost of goods sold. I do use them for ad spend though, because with ad spend, they have a card called the Gold Business Card, and their Gold Business Card gives you 4x points, which Amex points are pretty valuable. They're worth somewhere around, you know, 1.5 to 2x, you know, 2 cents per point. So when you transfer to airline reward programs, you'll get the most value out of them. And then, you know, you can fly business class long haul from, like, you know, for me, it's like Indonesia to the U.S. Round trip with Singapore Air will cost me about, you know, a 250,000 miles round trip, which, you know, effectively would be worth, like, let's just say $2,000 to $3,000 worth of cash back. But cash value, those flights cost like $4,000 to $6,000. So I'm getting like a 2 cents per point value on that using a credit card in the travel miles program. So yeah, that's the way to go. I would recommend doing that using credit cards, and just, you can look up, there's a ton of different banks and credit cards you can use for different types of spend. So I would just kind of amass the thing that works for you best. And if you are curious about what I use, you can go check out my blog. Just go to the resources page, and then in the resources page, it links to the best credit cards for high ticket dropshipping blog post and lists out all the cards that I have and use. All right, so once you have your checking account ready and a business credit card, at least cost of goods sold card, an ad spend card, and some kind of a card you use for software and services and you know, expenses and things like that, I would recommend, of course, that you keep your business spend separate from your personal spend. So get personal credit cards and use them for your personal spend. Don't put personal spend on a business card, and try not to put business spend on a personal card. One of the main reasons for that is your credit score will decrease if you try to put business spend on a personal card a lot faster, because personal cards report directly to the bureaus, where our business cards won't. If you rack up your business card like crazy in 1 month, your credit score won't go down like crazy. But if you rack up a personal card like crazy in 1 month, your score will be affected by that. So try not to put business spend on personal cards, and try not to put personal spend on business cards. So you're really not supposed to do that either. But with seller's permits, it's pretty easy. So a seller's permit is required by suppliers, and it's just because of sales tax. And also, it's kind of a way to prove that you are a, you know, real business besides your LLC formation paperwork. But it's kind of like a business license. Seller's permits are given by the state, and it's really easy to apply. Every single state has a different application process. If you're curious about your particular state, you can look at my blog, and I have a blog post about the process for each state and the link to go to, so go check out the blog. And so basically, you just go through that application process and sign up, and you know, you'll get your seller's permit. For Wyoming, they charge a small fee, and then you get your seller's permit. You will need to give them your residential address, even if it's outside the U.S. Yeah, I'd recommend, if you have like family in the U.S., if you're a nomad, to use that address. That's what I do. If that doesn't work, just give them your physical address wherever you happen to be in the world. It's perfectly fine. If you're a U.S. citizen and you live abroad, they're not going to give you trouble about it. They just want to know where you physically live. And yeah, so you cannot use like a virtual mailbox for seller's permits anymore, especially for Wyoming. It just doesn't work. They don't accept it. So once you get your seller's permit, it's good. The next thing you'll need is to set up, I would recommend a virtual office of some sort, or a virtual mailbox. I've already kind of gone over this a little bit. America's mailbox is kind of old school. I would recommend using Traveling Mailbox. They have a better software program, and it's pretty affordable too. I use Traveling Mailbox, and you can see my referral link on the resources page on ecommerceparadise.com/resources. Traveling Mailbox is really, really good. They give you a online portal, and also you can easily get your mail scanned for you, and credit cards scanned front and back. They will hold mail for you, they will forward it to you, so on and so forth. So it's pretty easy. This is especially important for people that live abroad, because, you know, obviously mail is free to receive in the U.S., but abroad they're not going to send it to you unless you, like, special order it or whatever. So you're going to need a virtual mailbox of some sort. And it just makes life a lot easier, sort of having to rely on your family to, like, scan your mail for you or something. Yeah, the next thing is merchant accounts. So with Shopify, they offer Shopify payments, so you can just sign up for Shopify payments. If you don't get approved for some reason, maybe because you're a foreigner or you live abroad or whatever, there's all these reasons why people might not get approved for Shopify payments. Sometimes it's just because you're in a risky niche market, so that might happen too. But you can use Stripe, or you can use some other, you know, authorized.net or something like that. You can apply for other merchant accounts, but you will need to have a merchant processing account. You can also get a PayPal business account. I would recommend that, because it just increases your conversion rate. And let's see, Amazon Pay also is an option. And it's also an option to accept, you know, physical checks and things like that as well. But you will need a way to process that, someone in the U.S. that can deposit that for you. I would not recommend doing COD, because it's highly risky. in the US. All right, so let's see. The next thing is hiring an accountant. Accountants are really important because filing taxes is a pain in the butt, and it's kind of complicated. You really don't want to do it wrong because the IRS will come back at you later and say, you owe us all this money if you did it wrong. So happened to me one time, and you have to explain to them, and it's a back and forth process, and they're kind of old school. So I would recommend hiring an accountant just to get your taxes filed appropriately. So I recommend Bench because I use Bench. Bench is a affordable accounting service that has an online portal. They are not the fastest accountants, but they do get the work done. I don't use them for like knowing my numbers every month. I use them for getting my taxes filed at the end of the year. It's only a couple hundred bucks a month. And when you have a ton of credit cards like I do, it really helps. I have like 30 credit cards. It's not really necessary to have that many credit cards. It's just for like travel hacking purposes. Getting like top tier status at the hotels and getting points and things like that through business spend for different, you know, programs and whatnot, and taking advantage of what is offered out there. Bench is great. I would recommend them, ecommerceparadise.com/bench if you want to sign up for them. And if you're a non-US resident, just a side note here that you can easily sign up for a business in the US. It's a bit less complicated than this whole process, but you will need to do a few extra things. And I would just recommend talking straight to your own accountant, because I'm not an accountant and I'm not an expert at filing for non-residencies, but I do know through friends that have done it that it is a pretty simple process. So you basically just have to get an EIN number. Right. Anyway, so I hope that helps, guys. That's kind of the stages of business formation for a high-ticket dropshipping business. You will need to figure each one of those things out before you get started. Suppliers are going to ask for your business information before you can get on board with them, and getting suppliers is, you know, key to success, obviously. So get that going, guys. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, Trevor@ecommerceparadise.com, and get into the masterclass and get information on step-by-step on each one of these things, overviews and all that good stuff at ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. And check out our services as well at ecommerceparadise.com/services. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care.